Welcome to the Work is Weird Now podcast. Whether you're nearing retirement, entering the workforce for the first time, or caught somewhere in the confusing muddle in the middle, you're likely sensing it and you're probably living it. We know we are, and we want to know why. Listen in as we interview experts and everyday people like you to find out how best to navigate the ever-growing weirdness of work in the modern age.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, Alice.
How are you?
Nice to see you virtually after being with you in person live
all day yesterday.
All day at the Finance Forum.
Yeah, it was a good day, I think. My feet hurt because not only did we attend all day and was sort of on our feet all day, but then I walked all the way from London Bridge to Westminster, which just sort of put the aching feet into next level territory. So I woke up with a bit of an ache. Yeah, so.
But I think exhibition life, and it's been a while since my exhibition days. Yeah, it was really nice to get back into it. Like, it's been a while since I've been on the conference floor, and I have to say, these guys really set it up quite differently, and I really enjoyed myself.
Yeah, it was nice. I've been at a few events recently, and I felt like they've been really, really crowded and chaotic, which is a good thing in some ways, because you like to know that people are actually back attending events and networking and having those sort of human connections again. But I think what was nice about this event, which of course was in its first year, so, you know, to some extent, I would assume it's a bit of experimentation, see what flies. But it felt like there was a lot of room and space to discuss and talk about things and have real meaningful conversations and move around freely to the different speakers, which were very well attended.
Absolutely. Like, we managed to get around and talk to exhibitors, speakers, and just people who were attending. And then there was stuff going on that, you know, that were in the conference part of it, you know, the roundtable part
that we didn't even see necessarily.
Yeah. Let's just chat through the day of what the day flowed like. You, I obviously had childcare drop off in the morning. You attended the first session, which sounded mega.
Yeah. So the first session was Piers Linney, who's the co-founder and executive chairman of Implement AI. And, you know, we talk about AI all the time on here. We speak to lots of people who talk about AI a lot. So it's not as if we're not immersed in this stuff every day. But still, just listening to him speak, I was just overwhelmed by the kind of scale of opportunity and also the pace of change. And it's something I think about quite often, but we as humans have a really difficult time grasping the concept of exponential change, right? We expect things to happen in a linear way. We are programmed to receive information that way. But he put up a slide that just showed the intensity of that exponential change and just how quickly it's actually too much for my feeble brain to fully grasp. But it is a good reminder that this is completely unprecedented territory we're entering.
Yeah, I was sad to make just the tail end of that, but it really, when you explained to me, it just blew my mind. I think we've obviously going to be dropping sound bites in here from the people that we spoke to, but from attendees to presenters to exhibitors alike, I think everybody spoke about a couple of things. AI.
Number one.
Excel, you know, and then the things in between. But the AI thing was a quote that somebody shared, and it was something like, if you're thinking about seeing how it lands, you're already too late.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. There's basically no choice. We need to fully integrate the way that we work and how we think with AI now. It's just a reality of our situation. And those who don't do it, even if you're a top performer, they will be left behind. That was the message I took away.
Absolutely. And then we went from there straight onto your live session.
Yeah. So I had a live session, which was all about reducing tension in the finance function. I was quite pleased to see that it was well attended as well. I did feel like the content was probably a little bit of a departure, both in terms of the actual content itself and the style of delivery from some of the other sessions that were held throughout the day, which was a good thing, I think. It felt like people were quite interested in what I had to say, which is always good. You know, people were photographing the slides and that kind of thing. But I think, you know, it was, I wouldn't say it was a particularly sort of sophisticated, at least not in my mind, presentation in terms of there wasn't any kind of bells and whistles around how you manage this stuff. It was just really simple, I hope, quite practical ideas for how to alleviate tensions within finance teams and to make them more human-centric and high-performing. So hopefully that is what people took away from it.
They sure did. And you had so many people come up to you afterwards to find out, and like, you're really digging into, can I even use these slides myself, you know, like, to present back? And I think the message to me there was there were team leaders and people leaders
your finance professionals there, like take the finance bit out of it. There are people leading other people in there that really felt heard by the things that you were calling out. And it was, how do we address those? And that was very, very practical. And so it was great. It was honestly great. It felt very, very relevant just for the way work is at the moment, never mind being just the finance industry, just being leaders of people and leaders of businesses. And it went really well.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
And did we hop step over there to Becky?
We did, yeah. Then we went straight over to Becky. So we actually saw all three of our interviewees, the people that we interviewed on the run-up to the Finance Forum. Donald Ewing even very kindly attended my session and made a comment in the crowd, which was nice. I say crowd. It was more like, it was a modest crowd, but a crowd nonetheless. So yeah, we went caught up with people that we'd interviewed, which again was really nice because I think in a bigger, busier context, we might not have been able to do that. We were also able to talk to some of the exhibitors who were there, some of the attendees who are looking to take some important things away for their own careers and jobs and roles. And then we also spoke to some of the other speakers as well. So we'll share some of that, some of the highlights of those conversations with you now.
Yeah, so hi all. I'm Funto Agbeniga. So I lead the commercial finance and planning function with GB Real Freight.
I'm Becky Glover, and I'm the Director of Finance and Technology.
John Fuggles. I'm Partnership Manager at Vantage Point Consulting.
My name is Yasmin. I'm the Finance Manager looking after overheads at Closest Still Media.
Hi, my name is Olaide Olunloyo. I'm the Head of Finance at an NGO called Jesus House in Brent Cross, London.
Caitlin Conway, Sales Director at QA.
My name is Theo, and I'm a Business Development Representative at Sage.
My name is Jack Payton. I work for UKI Media and Events. And I'm a finance business partner.
Chris Argent, founder of Generation CFO.
My name is Rob Anderson. I am a co-founder of Stillness Partners. I'm hoping to learn the impact of AI, something I'm very passionate about.
Yeah, the thing I want to learn at the Finance Forum is to kind of see what's out there in terms of AI training.
What I'm hoping to learn at the Finance Forum is what difficulties are facing companies, especially in data analytics and AI.
AI is obviously a big topic at the moment. There's so much talk about it. And particularly in finance, you can get a bit overwhelmed.
AI is just machines and lots of pipes and cords behind a computer screen. But actually, it's how do we teach people how to interact with AI to make sure that we're running more efficient companies, leaner and agile as well.
Yet the biggest challenges I'm facing on my day-to-day right now is just, reams of data.
At the moment, it's a lot of tight deadlines, a lot of being stretched very thin, wanting to deliver to a good standard, but being pressed for time and not being able to do so.
It's around the pace of change. So things are progressing so quickly. How do we keep up as human beings is the number one challenge, I think.
Everyone is kind of going through that budget cycle at the moment, and it's really hard to budget if you don't have a crystal ball and you don't know what's coming down the tracks. So this is where community comes in as well. You can kind of just bounce ideas around with your community, and it just helps you feel a little bit more confident.
For me, it is, if I were to rip up one thing of the finance industry, I believe it would be fragmented tools, just things, get rid of all the tools, uproot them and kind of consolidate into one. People are using tools that are like legacy tools, they're years old, they don't connect with each other. It adds on manual work, manual time, and basically causes a mess for everybody.
More than anything, the thing that really bugs me about the finance world is this obsession with Excel. Don't get me wrong, I love spreadsheets. I think they're great. I think they have a part to play. But please, we need to get beyond spreadsheets.
As finance people, we're wired not to want to fail. You know, our figures must balance, the balance sheet must balance, and we want a perfect world. But I think, to really, pivot, to innovate, to really be the finance leaders of the future, we have to get perfection out of the way and be willing to take those risks. So that would be one thing that I would be looking to get out of the way, so that as finance people, we can really take risks and be bolder in our approach, in a sense. Yes.
I would like to rip up some of the compliance side of it, especially when using AI. Sometimes it takes our finance partners a really, really long time to cut through that red tape to be able to use kind of the latest and greatest AI tools, especially when they are worldwide companies.
I don't like that finance is sometimes portrayed as a sort of a parental figure in a company where it's like, go to finance, and they're just going to say no. I think we're all just trying to do a good job, and everyone's in the same team fighting for the same goal.
You know, the world and the role is getting broader and broader. We need to stop thinking that we're accountants and start thinking we're business leaders. And everybody here, hopefully, is on that journey.
Well, this actually comes back to the session that I ran, and an individual in the audience said they would love to rip up the word finance. So it's not finance team anymore. And I was so excited by that. So we had an amazing discussion about, should it be called the strategic department or whatever that might be, but just to kind of rebrand finance. And we're not called finance anymore. We do much more than the numbers. So yeah, let's go through a rebrand and call ourselves something amazing.
So yeah, as you can hear, we had lots of really interesting conversations with lots of people on the floor as we moved around through the middle of the day. And then in the latter part of the day, we were able to go to some more of those events and speaking engagements to really round out our experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was the talk around leadership and then also building high-performing teams. And then the other part, there were three CFOs being interviewed by Chris, and he was asking them to share their journeys and what they should do that's outside of their traditional linear, you know, you get your CMA or your ACCA qualifications, but stepping out of actually being an accountant, qualified accountant, and into these leadership roles. And there were just some things there. So they were calling out creativity, curiosity, which are topics that we just love, because, you know, it's not just about the textbook now when you get into leadership roles, that's for sure. But one of the speakers there really said you really need to take in the breadth as well as the depth of your role and actually embracing the generalist part of being a leader. Like, you can't know everything in a CFO role. And I feel like that as a marketer, you know, you cannot know everything, but you need to be able to understand it, speak fluently, and then really lead your people. And not being scared of like that constant pivoting and embracing technology and learning that failure is okay. It's how do we then take that and learn from it and apply it for next time, you know? And I actually felt really reassured that it wasn't just me. You know, and it never is just me, right? But I think coming from like a marketer's profession, which somebody called it out in there, and I wrote this down because I wanted to say, it was like, don't underestimate the power of your finance peers, your peers in a business and the network, but especially the marketers. So finance people can be known to be quite introverted and pessimistic, quote, that's not me saying that, it was a quote from a speaker, a finance professional. And the marketers are, you know, really optimistic, and the challenges, and in the middle, you get a really good reasoned vision on like how the business is actually standing. And I loved that. And I think marketers come with this territory of being, you know, setting the budget on fire, and the finance teams are the ones that just say no all the time. But in the middle, if you learn about each other, great things to be said and learn from. It was Sue Allen from Willoughby who said that. And I wrote it down because I was just like, yeah.
Yeah, I thought you would like that comment. Another thing that I noticed too, actually, was several different people and several of the speakers that we heard over the course of the day mentioned being introverts. And it's quite obvious. It's funny to attend, say, a marketing event, which I did a couple of weeks ago, and you've got these really dynamic speakers up on stage, and you know they're born to do this stuff. And then in the financial context, you have very reluctant speakers, by and large, who are, you know, acknowledge the fact that they're introverts and this isn't necessarily the most natural context for them. However, we also heard quite a lot about the importance of making social connections for a CFO and senior financial people. And actually, those connections and those relationships that you have across the business are so crucial now more than ever before, arguably. But I think in defense of introverts, I want to say, actually, I think introverts aren't bad at making human connections. It's just that it's a different almost mentality in the approach towards those connections, right? So I don't think people should feel as if they are introverted and they're in junior financial positions, that that's not an attainable objective for them. Certainly, you can sharpen your creativity, your curiosity, as we've discussed on previous episodes of the podcast. Those two things are nurturable. And I think also the human connection aspect is nurturable too, right? Everybody's capable of this. So yeah, just wanted to put that out there in defense of the introvert.
And that's fair. I remember standing up on like the first day at a company, and the CEO was like, why are you shy standing up? You're a marketer. You're meant to be up here all jazz hands, you know? And I'm like, I'm a bit of an introverted extrovert, actually. Like it's naturally to do, and I hate the jazz hands thing, but you know, it's just one of those, we're almost pigeonholed already, but naturally, some finance people are more in the numbers and more introverted, and they were calling that out. But I thought it was great that they were calling that out, because they know that to address it and actually, you know, work on those wider relationships and how they can really complement each other. The other thing that I loved was the call out about being so much data. And I remember saying this on our pod with Blame on Marketing, and I a marketer said we've almost got too much data, and Ruta went, you know, like I'd personally offended her. I love data. I was like, yeah, no, it's okay. The data's great. Like, I'm not saying we don't need the data, but the finance people even said, we've got so much data, right? Yeah. We're in these little cells in black and white, and it's all there, and there's tons of it coming from all angles. But what is really landing is storytelling, because yes, we're human, absolutely. Right? Tell the story of what this means. I had an email that landed in my inbox last night, and they'd used a quote, selling a point that this was the best storytelling I've ever seen. It was just something completely unrelated. And it just shows that we still really crave where this came from, why it's here. Where is it going? What does this mean? The stats are great. Let's use it to like bolster an evidence, but we can win hearts and minds with stories, right?
Absolutely. I mean, this goes back to cave drawings, right? Like we are biologically programmed to process stories because that's how we assign meaning and how we see ourselves in the wider context. So yeah, that was definitely a theme that emerged all day long, was the importance of storytelling. And hopefully people will be able to sharpen those skills. So we finished with two main stage speeches. And the first one was Chris Naseby, who is the CFO at the Watergate Bay Hotel, which I've actually been to one or two of those properties. And yeah, amazing places. So I was a bit starstruck by his presence.
It's on my bucket list.
Yeah, definitely, definitely worth visiting. The one in the Lake District specifically. But he was interesting. It was at Fireside Chat, and he was quite a calm, fireside-like individual. Sort of muted tones and quite thoughtful. And one of the things that really stood out for me was he was very focused on expressing how much his values play into his role. And I think that's easily something that we all forget, because we talk in an abstract way about our values. But actually, do we really know, or could we define what our values are if we were asked on the spot? And I think, Dan, you've been in this position before when we had Simon Lam on, who asked you your values. Right. We think we know our values, but actually often I think it's helpful to take a step back and say, well, what are my values truly? And really get in touch with those. Because I think for someone like Chris, it clearly has a massive impact on the way that he leads his team, the way he leads that business, and has been, by his assertion, absolutely instrumental to his success. Yeah. Key takeaway there.
It was great.
And then we had Bernie.
I thought this was genius, genius move by the Finance Forum, popping Bernie in there, because at first I was like, huh? And then it just made so much sense when she started talking about, so she is a lead role in a pit crew for Aston Martin, but have worked in McLaren and other huge F1 brands. And the link was very clear very quickly. So the amount of data that industry has available at their fingertips to make big strategic decisions that are majorly impactful, have to be made in a moment, et cetera, et cetera. And the link then carrying that across to teamwork and your peers and people that are not in your lane, no pun meant there, but not in your exact department, but totally impact your world. And that element, the impact that the tiniest marginal gain can have. Pit stop example and shaving 0.1 second off, but the impact that then has on going and winning a race was just, I hung off every single word. I think I've quoted her 3 times today already. I've actually,
which was impressive since that was 4 p.m. So we were flagging a bit.
It was
at that
great
point.
Hardship, and she had the crowd. And, you know, there was a quote that I wrote down. It was a piece around storytelling that she really, really leaned into. But then this point was, mechanical systems are absolutely brilliant. We still need to trust your team of experts. Oh, sorry, I need to start that again. The mechanical systems are all absolutely brilliant, but none of it works if you haven't got the human touch in there. That, well, you know, so that goes back to AI. All of these systems, all of these tools are absolutely brilliant. You need a really solid team of experts and to trust them to do their job, especially as you're starting to step up into these more generalist CFO, you know, overarching roles. Again, absolutely brilliant. Trust your teams, trust the people around you. And then just the, do you debrief when things go well? because you absolutely have to debrief even when things go well, not just when they go wrong. There was loads more I could have wheeled out from that, but I thought it was such a smart move from Finance Forum of how it really talked to that industry, and I thought she was brilliant.
So what was your main takeaway? What are you going to be thinking about in a couple of weeks' time?
Well, that is a really good question. My main takeaway, I think there's probably a couple of things there. Am I storytelling enough? So like in my day job at the moment, am I storytelling all of the time with the data and things that we can do? And I think maybe the debrief bit, you know, am I debriefing enough? Or, you know, I think we're in this world now where busy and productivity and churn and all of those things, but actually breaking things down and debriefing things about what went well, even better if those things, trying to bring that into the day to day. I think I'd really like to do that.
Yeah, great. And I think for me, it was, you know, we are not finance people. We don't pretend to be finance people. However, we are weird work people. And I think what was really interesting about that was just to delve into that particular function in a business for a day, just revealed and confirmed all of the wider issues that we talk about all the time. So it is, we are in a world where AI is important. We're going to have to get on board with it. We're going to have to integrate it into our lives. We're going to have to know what our tech stack is. We're going to have to lean into those human skills as well. So our curiosity and our creativity and our ability to connect with people and our storytelling capability, all of those things are going to be completely important no matter what you do and in what profession, finance included.
Yeah. And it was just, it was our first as a pod, you know, we're 10 months old at the moment. Yeah. It was our first media partnership. And that I learned a lot from that. And I didn't, again, I always keep saying, this has been such a learning curve for us. If you asked me this time a year ago that we'd have a media partnership with, you know, a big major conference for senior leaders in the finance world, I'd have said no. But here we are. I've learned so much from it. And it's been really, really enjoyable. I've thoroughly enjoyed connecting with these finance leaders, and huge shout out to obviously Becky, Victoria and Donald for just being such great guests and really bringing their thoughts and hearts and minds to the table. It was wonderful.
Great. Fantastic. Well, onwards.
Exactly that. So we've got a new media partnership being announced very, very soon. Yes. And we'd love to hear your feedback on the mini series itself, of course. But any feedback for the Finance Forum, you can make your way on into our DMs and we can feed all that back too.
And start listening to season 4. Starts today.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.